First, I'd like to say that it's a real privilege for me to be down here. I've never been to this place before. Now, this is our first meeting down here, and we want to publish this in the magazine. We'd like to publish it in our magazine, so we'd like to get some pictures of it. We're down here for the purpose of christening a new thing for God. God sent Brother John Lane in here to pioneer a work in this area. And the prophecies have come forth a number of years ago that there would be a work in this area. Whereas a brother that was sent down here to do a work, which of course, as most of you know, he went away and took what we had and set up his own work in his own charter, said that I believe it was the other day that Brother John Lane would not be successful in doing anything, that it wouldn't amount to anything. Well, that could be, but as far as I'm concerned, that's a matter of opinion, because I feel that what the brother is doing right now belonged to Brother John Lane, because Brother John Lane had it when we came down here in our tent. A lot of people, you know, they don't understand, Brother Pike, because I'm straight up front. You know, our Bible said we use great plainness of speech, and we don't dip and dodge and say things behind people's back, but we try our very best to speak boldly and not to hurt anybody, but real plain. The Bible said we use great plainness of speech, and we're rude in speech, the Bible teaches, but not in knowledge. Now, this is the way I look at it. First of all, maybe it isn't right for us to be here. Maybe it wasn't right for you to come. We're just going to give you the benefit of the doubt of it. Now, according to what I understood, we were supposed to be here, and we came because God sent us, and if the preparation of man's heart is of God, He must have prepared your heart. Because do you realize that I never asked you to come? How many of you know that? Raise your hand if I never asked you to come. I never asked you to come. There was about three or four in the men's meeting I asked to come down here to try to help out a little bit. I never asked you to come at all. So then, if you come, somebody had to prepare your heart to come. Now, who would you say that did that? Would you say that Satan did that or God did that? Everybody that believes that the devil prepared your heart to come down here, I'd like to see your hand. Okay, everybody that believes that God prepared your heart to come down here, I'd like to see your hand. Now, folks, the Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. In that I didn't ask them to come and God prepared their heart to come, then this must be the act of God. Wouldn't you say that? All right, now, if this is the act of God, then I would say that this is probably the fulfillment of the prophecies that came on this place a number of years ago. Would you say that? It's for sure the ones that prophesied that this would happen, or they that came to purchase the land, they didn't know you was going to be here tonight, now did they? There was no way. They had to have a vision of it. So then the prophecy must be that this was the way it was to be. Now the individual made the statement that Sister Fole would not sell us the land down here in connection with this because she didn't believe in that there. Whereas a brother told me tonight, said for that statement to be true, it sure seems strange that she comes to Bethlehem and out here, as he would have put it in so many words. You know, that she's here. If she don't believe in it, what is she doing here? And another thing is, if she prophesied something would happen, or if her husband or whoever purchased this, Brother Clyde Cobbs and the different ones, then if they prophesied this would happen, and here it is happening, and if the thing that's happening is happening with our people down here, how is it that they can't believe in their own prophecy? I mean, does that make sense? See, does the sister not believe in her own prophecies? Does she not believe in her own husband's doings and Brother Clyde's doings? Why is it that the others isn't down here if it's supposed to be like that? So then I say again, this must be the act of God. It must have to do with the prophecy. And I say that she does believe in it. And whether anybody believes in it or not, I can't change it in that God has done it. Because I certainly didn't have anything to do with it. Now, I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here. And the way I'm talking to you, I've talked to the other individual. We've talked very clear together, not to hurt him, but very plain. I told him just exactly, Brother Cobb, back there as a witness of that, he was present, and some of the other brethren. We had it very straight. I want this very clear. Since it was a complication in Macon, I want it thoroughly understood as to what happened. I sent Brother John Lane to Macon, Georgia to start a work. He started to work. I sent another brother down because God showed me John was going to leave. And sure enough, after I told the brethren that John was going to leave, John sent word that he was going to leave. Now, the other brother came down, and I told the other brother, I said, now, you don't make arrangements to stay there because we may be moving you, that we're going to start a work and there might be other brethren coming in. The brother started his own charter. He took the work. He took the chairs. He took the piano. He took the congregation. He took everything. He chartered in the name that I gave it. He took the name, and he set up his own work. Now, if that's right, then that's good and fine, if that's the way you judge righteousness. I don't judge it right. You know, I don't judge that as being right at all. I judge that as being wrong. But I judge this right, that it wasn't right for him to do that. Now, so then, whatever he done, I'm not against him. I'm not trying to hurt him. I'm not trying to spotlight him. I'm not trying to say anything. I'm just trying to clear up the confusion in your mind because we're here and this is the way that it is. The brother came and took this building right here, lived in it because we let him come and live in it because it was given to us. And I told the brethren, I said, he will not stay there. I said, he will move. I said, because of the way everything is gone. So he did, which proved again that it was right. Allegorically, it showed death because he moved into a place called Gray, and Gray has to do with death, and the temple that they have is down in a gulch-like, which has to do with a barrel. But the name that I gave is not down in the gulch. It's up on the highway, the great light. It's not down in the gulch at all. Now, the Bible speaks of the hole being a deep ditch and the flesh being whorish. And they that are abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. That means the carnal mind is the enemy of God, and they that are abhorred of God shall fall into the carnal reasoning and do their own thing. Now, I said that to clear up something here that you might understand. I am not against anybody. There's hundreds and millions of people that have their own works. And those hundreds and millions of people, they're doing whatever they want to do. And I have nothing to say about it. But when you leave a work and you break a brotherhood tie and you take that people and properties which belong to a brotherhood or people, then you've done wrong. And there isn't but one thing to do, and that's repent. The brother has not brought the people up to Bethlehem to worship, but he took them to Brother Red McKinney's place. I was with Brother Red McKinney just a few days ago over in Indiana in a meeting, him and Brother Parnell. And he also took them to Brother Walden's place. He never brought them to Bethlehem at all. The Bible speaks of a thing that happened in the Bible where God gave a man a right. Not because God was pleased with the man that he gave the right to, but he was displeased with the man that he took the right from. And so then he did that to show an allegoric type. And in that, the man would not let the people come back up to Judah to worship when God ordained it. So one day God sent a prophet, and that prophet prophesied against that, and it failed. Great was the fall of it. Now, I'm trying to clear your minds up in this way. The people came here not because I sent them here. I sent them to Macon to take a work there. But they moved out to Danville, whereas I had asked for this to be to start with, and I never did get anybody to do it. But then they moved out to Danville when they were not successful in Macon. They come out here and made an arrangement to buy land. The land was bought like this. I had given $1,000 in this area to help buy properties. It didn't work out. So then later, I offered money to buy property out here from Sister Foe. But the individual would not accept money. The individual took the property, bought the property, put the property in his own name. I told him this. I talked to him. I looked at the things. Put it in his own name. Took the property, put it in his own name, made the agreement with the sister. I offered to help pay. He wouldn't receive it. He didn't receive anything from the people, according to what he stated. It was not in the people's name, nor was it in Little Bethlehem's name. It was not in the people's name that was working with the brother, but it was in his own individual name, because I checked it out very thoroughly. Now, that's for one reason, and that's so that a man can have control and do what he wants to. When I faced the brother, I said to the brother, I said, you deceived the people. I said, you went and perverted the people, and you perverted their minds, and you deceived them. I said, and them being babes in Christ, you deceived them. And you took those people. And he said, well, we decided this, that we could work with you, Brother Pike, but if something happened to you, we didn't know what the brethren of Bethlehem would do, so we decided to do our own thing, which of course they did. They come out here and cut down the trees. They didn't have no drawings. They didn't have no agreement. They didn't have nothing from the brotherhood to do that. When they knew how I stood about cutting trees down or anything else, and they also, that is, ruining properties, and they also got together and decided who was going to be on a lot and who wasn't going to be on a lot, and each one having their own trailer. I asked the brother this. I said, did it ever occur to you that something could happen to you as well as Brother Pike? And it shocked him. I said, then what would happen? I said, at least Bethlehem, we've got elders and leaders that can go on with the work in world evangelism, and we are trying to feed the orphans and the widows and trying to do what we can, not just trying to get together a group of people to set up a little church. Whereas I've preached under a tent, and I've been in little churches, in country churches and whatever, and God helped us and raised us up to feed the orphans. And around the world, our message goes today, not because we're great, not because we're brilliant, not because we're rich, not because we're capable, but because Jesus was satisfied with our desire to try to do something for Him. And that with a brotherhood, not to take something for a personal benefit, to have a personal enterprise, to have money and fame and popularity, but rather to have a brotherhood that could own and operate a world power for Christ to reach into all the world. As a matter of fact, I believe it's just today that my wife tells me that we received a letter out of Guyana. And there was a brother there said, we've got a number of letters out of Guyana, South America, and out of the islands, different places. The radio goes around the world, even to Russia. And the brother said, Brother Pike, we heard your message on the dispute over Moses' body, and said we were greatly inspired, and said that we hope that God will continue to use you in this great way, that you might minister to us or to the body with these great things. And they were really stirred about these things that they wrote about. Said, I hope I can get my heart and spirit into these things. Now, brethren, if this is a work that's reaching into Guyana, that's reaching into England, that's reaching around the world, South America and Africa and different places, for what reason should another brother take a group of people away from it to keep them from supporting it or working with it or God's people being one? If I am at all anything to the people or to Him, then why did He do that? It was because it was in His heart. As Bob Jones said one time, when a man steals a car, that doesn't make him a thief because he stole the car. He was a thief or he would never have stole the car to begin with. It was in his heart to do that. See, I happen to know that the wrong on the brother's part was in his heart for a long time. I discussed it privately with the brethren. That's why I let him come down here so he could manifest the wrong that was in his heart. And he did. No way to dispute it because he went and set up his own charter and took the name to separate it completely from the chartered right to whether even the law couldn't do anything about it. But we're not going to press it to try to do anything about it. Could be something done about it. But I'm not even interested in that. I just want you to be clear in your mind and everybody to know where I stand in it. I have no feeling of animosity or anything toward the brother whatsoever. I would do it and help him tonight. I do not believe in what he's doing. He is not with us. He is against us. He is not with us. And I try to pray for him and I try to ask God to help him. And I try to ask God to, I've even said, Lord, if the man is going to do any good or can do any good, if the people can, then bless them and help them to do it. And if not, if it's just a betrayal, as it has been in the part that the things that happened, I said, you'll just have to deal with it because I don't want any part of it. It was said to a brother yesterday as he went by to visit that the sister fold did not believe in that up there. And it was insinuated that she believes in that over there. Now this is the way I feel, and you judge it. If a brother says that she doesn't believe in that up there, but apparently believes in what they're doing, then that means there must be two kind of doings. Would you say there was two kind of doings? That means he doesn't believe in that up there because he's got another kind of doing. Is that right or wrong? Why would he say that she didn't believe in them if there wasn't two kind of doings? It indicated that there was two kind of doings, and one of the doings was his and one of the doings was mine, and that she did not believe in my doings. So that meant he was doing something different from what I'm doing. Does that prove that he is separated from us? The Bible said if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us, but they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. There are some people that are over there that are fine people. And if the brother could get straightened out, he'd be all right. But he's in error right now. And the Bible teaches to separate yourself from every brother that walks disorderly. So you know how I feel, folks, so you won't have to wonder how Brother Pike feels. I told the brother the same thing. I talked to him this very same way. I told him, even though I talked to him a little stronger and a little straighter and told him what was happening. But there are some people that got caught away in that still belong to this over here. And they'll eventually come to their understanding of it. But numbers of those people were not right with God anyway. They didn't have anything from God anyway. And that's why they were swayed like they were. And some of them were just babies, and that's why they were swayed. Anytime there's a church split, or any time that there are sheep that wander off, it is because they are sick sheep. It has been said that shepherds can come together, numbers of shepherds, and they can have hundreds or thousands of sheep. When they come together, they say that it is a proven fact that when the shepherd leaves, every one of his sheep will get up from among the flock and follow him. And it has been proven that only sick sheep will follow another shepherd. That when they are sick, they lose their sense of stability and balance. So folks, I just wanted to say that to let you know how I feel. I'm not against the brother. I'm not contrary to the brother. But this thing was not done in the dark. It was not done in secret. It was done all around where people all over this part of the country know it and all over the part of the country know it up there. And Brother Wall and them knows it. It's been spread there and it's been spread down to Brother McKinney's. So why should we hush-hush the thing and not tell it like it is, that everybody here might understand how I feel, what happened, and the way the thing took place. So this is the way that I feel about it. Let them do what they will. We'll do what we will. But I say again, to clarify my position in it, that I am here tonight to christen something in this area. Perhaps from the prophecy that was given concerning, or from Sister Foe, or from the labor of Brother Clyde Cobbs and his father-in-law. That could be the reason that we're here. It's for sure that when Brother Clyde left his home in Macon, Georgia, and I hope you don't mind me talking to you, because this is what I need to do right here concerning the revelation of the Lord. Now, it's a new work. We need to get started off right. That way there won't be any confusion. Now, Brother Clyde, when he was in his home, his brick home, a nice brick home over in Macon, Georgia, had a good job, had been a reliable person for years. Clyde is a very reliable person. He had been a reliable person for years, worked on a job, had a good reputation, took good care of his family. You ask his daughters, and they'll tell you that Brother Clyde fed them good and kept them a nice home, and they probably are some of the most cherished up children you could find anywhere. He looked after them well. One day God sent me to Brother Clyde's home. I did not know that Brother Clyde had a little group of people, some of them his relatives. And I did not know that a boy by the name of David, which I believe is a good boy that's got a work in Macon, I preach for his dad, boy that went to Brother Jack Thomas, he's been in our meetings before. I did not know that that boy had come to Clyde's meeting and that by some means he had got the people interested in Brother Branham, and in that he had, they went to Brother Jack Palmer's church, and it really hurt Brother Clyde. But anyway, Brother Clyde was broke up. Well, when I got to his home, we prayed. And when I prayed, God gave me a word of prophecy for Brother Clyde Cobbs. You know, I have been in places like Detroit, Michigan, and be in my room praying, and God would give me a word maybe for a minister that was way over in the state of Georgia or some other place. And I wrote them, and some of them have not honored what I said, and they got into the very thing that I told them that they was going to get into if they didn't do according to the prophecy. So then, I prophesied to Brother Clyde. I gave him a word of prophecy. The Bible speaks of prophesying, and if that thing comes to pass, then the Bible said, fear that prophet. I don't say that I'm a prophet, and I don't go around prophesying in the sense of telling people this or that, but there is a number of things that I do in prophesying. Every once in a while, I'll prophesy. Maybe I'll prophesy by inspiration as thus saith the Lord, or maybe I'll just speak by inspiration as meeting a brother, and I'll say thus and thus, the Lord wants you to do thus and thus saith the Lord. Now, I do that because I communicate with God and God communicates with me. I've had visions where I was a prophet, a number of visions where I was a prophet. Sometimes just in a wraparound robe or a garment with a staff in my hand traveling along a little dusty road and prophesying to the people, stopping in saying, thus saith the Lord. I've had other kind of visions where I was a prophet. I had a vision where I was laying on my bed one night and Betty was laying on the bed beside me. And in the vision, Betty was asleep and I was awake and I was looking up to the ceiling. And as I lay there on the bed, I was just talking to the Lord in the vision. And I said, Lord, if I was a prophet, I said, I could see visions. And all of a sudden, I went into a vision. And in the vision, I saw the death of Brother Floyd Owens' mother. Saw it very clearly. I saw the funeral home. And I was standing like in a hallway. And over here was the room, and over here was the display room. I saw him come from this room, the family room, over to the display room. I saw him come across the hallway. I saw him walk across to where the coffin was. And I was in the hall, and I was looking directly at him. And one of them became aware that I was in the hall watching them as they went over. Well, it went on as the vision was, and when I came out of the vision, then I told my wife and I told the others what I saw. I said, God has shown me the death of Sister Owens. And sure enough, in a little while, she died. Now, I didn't say that to prove that I'm a prophet, for I take this stand. As Brother John said, I'm a son of God. I believe that with all my heart. And the law and the prophets were until the sons of God came. And the Bible said the least of the sons of God is greater than the prophets. Well, that is to say, he that is least in the kingdom of God as a member and bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, is greater than those that were beyond the law. So then, I'm not trying to prove anything. I know there's a Brother Hall that says, I understand that he says he's a prophet. I think I read somewhere where he said he was a prophet, or some of them told me he said he was a prophet, but he wasn't a son of God. Well, I don't understand that, but nevertheless, he's doing a tremendous work wherever he goes. I never had the privilege of running into him. I saw him one time on TV. Been close to each other in a lot of meetings. But I'm trying to bring out something here, folks, and that is, I believe in the truth. I'm set for the defense of the gospel and the truth. And I've told you the truth. And I believe that when a brother is in error, you should withdraw from him. I don't believe that when a brother goes out in error or a sister goes out in error, you should go with that brother or sister and start fellowshipping that brother or sister and take the outlook that the pastor's cruel and the brethren are cruel because they excommunicated him. The Bible said disfellowship him that he might be ashamed. Now, this is the truth. Other than perhaps one vision, I have had a number of night visions concerning the brother that caused the problem. And in every vision, he was in terrible shape. And he was out of the will of God altogether. I just recently had one the other day. I mean a number of them. And I've related them to the brethren. I'm not going to relate them to you because there's a number of them. But there's something that's wrong somewhere. That's for sure. So I'm set here for the defense of the gospel. I come here to christen a work. And I want to be sure that there's nothing left in the closet. We don't have any skeletons in the closet. And I trust that you don't either. I don't like skeletons. No, we don't have any in the closet. We're just up front. We're just what we are. I've been married one time. I got one wife. That's all I got. I guess that's all John's got is one wife. And we believe in the right thing. I believe in a lot of things concerning marriage. And maybe as we go along, maybe we can share it with some of you, maybe that's never heard. But anyway, we are here for this purpose. I want to ask you this question. Does it stand to reason? If this doesn't sound right, I want you to tell me. Does it stand to reason that if there was prophecies concerning this down here, that this must have something to do with it. Does that sound the reason? Okay, now, if that doesn't, I'd like for you to raise your hand and somebody tell me. If you don't believe that this has to do with those things as to the purchase of this land and to Brother Clyde and the brother's labor, the one that's deceased, that is Sister Fole's husband, and the prophecies of Sister Fole, whatever, I'd like for you to raise your hand if you don't believe this has anything to do with it. There's only one little acre here. One little acre. And it doesn't even have a driveway to it, except across Sister Fole's land. They gave Brother Clyde a driveway. Otherwise, there's nothing here except this one little acre for God and this house. Why in the name of reasoning did God let a man with the ability of Clyde Cobb leave what he had and come out here and build this one house on this one tiny little acre? Well, that wouldn't even been good reasoning. As long as I've known Clyde, Clyde's got more reason than to build a house as fabulous as this house and on a place to where he can't even get out to the road. Why, no man that's wise would think about doing a thing like that. So, folks, it means one thing. It has to be the act of God. And when we gave Brother Clyde the prophecy of what God wanted him to do, Brother Clyde at that time, I'm sure, could have been doubtful of it. But later on, it came to pass exactly. Brother Clyde said, Brother Pike, it came to pass exactly the way that you said. We're not going to relate it, but I can relate it to you tonight because it's fresh in my mind. And as far as I know, it came to pass just that way. Every individual, including our Sister Fole that's here tonight, follows a specific pattern in the mind of God. I'm not smart, folks. I am not a scholar. I cannot tell you anything. I don't know anything unless God reveals it to me because I'm not smart. Now, there are some smart men here, and I mean genuinely smart men, but I'm not one of them. But there's one thing about it. Every individual follows a place in the mind of God, even from the foundation of the world. We are elect. How did I get to be a Christian? By the mind of God. It was the foreknowledge of God, that is His mind, by His foreknowledge. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, the way I am, I came to God and I prayed through and God saved my soul and I just got down there and wept my way through. There ain't no such thing as that, folks. I know that's a good old saying and preachers used to talk about that and that's good and we need a whole lot of weeping. But if you just got down there and wept your way through, the question that I want to ask you is why didn't Esau weep his way through? He wept too. See, it's not given through repentance. That is eternal life. Preach just a little bit now. It's not given through repentance. The Bible said this was given to us in the foreknowledge of God before the world ever was. Elect according to foreknowledge. And the Bible said it was brought to light at Calvary. That is, at Calvary it was revealed and preachers began to preach it when the Bible said the kingdom of God has come. The law and the prophets till John, the kingdom of God has come. We're down here, and Brother John is down here to signify the folding up and the laying away of the law. Now, in John the Baptist's case, John was the end of the law. How many of you know that? He was the end of the law. So being the end of the law, the Bible said there was none greater than John because he was the end of the law. The end of a matter is better than the beginning. So then the end of the law was that John, there was none better than John. But the Bible said, notwithstanding he that is least as a member of the kingdom of God is greater than John. Now I'd like to make a comparison to Brother John Lane here. Brother John Lane has completely changed his life so much until even some of the brethren said, John is absolutely a different man. Said he's altogether a different man. Now why is that? Because God had two things for John to do in life. I would say that as John Lane, that there probably wouldn't be a man out here. And we got some men that graduated from college. They've got degrees and whatever. And in case you in doubt of this, y'all can go in the living room after we leave and compare notes. But I'd say that there's not a man out here that's equal to him. I'm not going to say above him. I don't believe there's a man out here that's equal to John in his natural side of life. Now, I've heard him go through mathematics, and he's just about a mathematical genius from what I understand. You say, well, that's because you don't know much. Well, maybe that's the problem with me. But anyway, the way he does it, it sure is fascinating. I'll put it like that. So then on that side, there's none greater than John out here, I wouldn't think. I certainly couldn't be compared to him. Now, but then John folded that up and laid that away because he's been a teacher, he's been a professor, he has been in private schools, Christian schools, that is, here in Macon, Georgia. He and his family, or some of them, has taught school in public school here. But see, that's folded up and laid away, which means the end of the law and of the prophets. That's the end of it. That's signified by John. But now John's got a privilege that John the Baptist didn't have in that day. In John's type, he is a son of God. He has the privilege to come over to the other side. Whereas the Bible said Jesus made in himself twain. Both of that that was laid away concerning the law, and then that that was brought to front as to the kingdom of God in that he was the light of the world. That's why I named this the great light down here. The brother going over there, taking the name as to the great light, only showed the fall of Lucifer. And I don't mean that wrong. But as a great light, Lucifer was, and he fell from the body and fell from the heavenly brethren. So that only showed the fall of it. See, but the great light remains right here. The light of this revelation remains the same. You can reflect this light, and you can reflect something and go off, but you lose the light. That's why that he has a flag that's one-sided. This is not a one-sided flag. This flag is on both sides. That flag there that he has is one-sided, to indicate it was on one side, to indicate the law folded up and being laid away. Right here at Danville, Danville had to do with the serpent tribe. This thing out here had to do with death. When Brother Clyde Cobbs come out here from the place that he did over in Macon, I told a brother or two, I said, Brother Clyde doesn't realize what he's doing. I said, they're going with great plans to build something, to let you know that we knew about this before they ever bought the property. God had showed us what they was doing at that time. And I said, they are not going to build anything or have anything successful in that sense because it doesn't even show that in the mind of God. I said, it shows being cut off in the wilderness and a wilderness wandering until a certain time expires and then it'll be brought out. Whereas the brother had to do with Moses dying in the wilderness. Brother Cobbs will tell you that I told him this. That's no reproach because the brother relates back, he and the sister, relates back to the church of God. And the church of God relates back to the elders. And it goes back to the dying in the wilderness because the church of God is called the church of God of the elders. And I said that in this last move that the church of God would be behind this. It was the church of God boy that come out of the church of God recently through our ministry that stood in Jeffersonville or up above Jeffersonville there at the meeting with Brother Parnell and sing on a Sunday morning one of our songs, the chief cornerstone, the stone that the builders rejected the same has become the head of the corner. A great thing was taking place there that I've never mentioned to any of you except my wife, so far as I know. If I have, it's been very rare to some of you. But I did relate this to you that it had to do with Joseph. And that's why that they're talking about Billy Paul in this era. Because in this area, they had a Brother Branham meeting, and I hope you can put all these together because I don't have time to talk to you. If I had 2 or 3 hours to talk to you, I'd take every little step, you know, and I'd break it down to where it fit together like a puzzle, but I'm just kind of jumping about, so it's going to be hard for you to get a hold of it unless you're spiritual. But they had the meeting of Brother Branham in this area, one of his last meetings. Because Brother Branham told me, he said, Brother Pike, when I come again, I'll come by your place. He told me that himself. He prayed that God would make our ministry, our publications, one of the biggest in the world. He prayed personally for that. That's why I don't war with the Brother Branham followings, because a lot of them don't know what they're doing. But Brother Lamar wouldn't even attend the Brother Branham meeting that came to Macon, because they had it had to do with the funeral home, which showed the closeout. I spoke of it. It spoke of the death and what it had to do with. And I spoke of Joseph, Brother Branham's son, which was at that time mixed up with dope, running around with a beard and just in a horrible-looking way because I saw him like that, on a motorcycle with a motorcycle gang and whatever. But I spoke of him. I said, at this time, Joseph will come out of the dungeon and he'll shave off his beard and he'll get right with God. He'll do something for God. He'd done exactly that. Today he is over. The spoken word in the sense that we spoke of Brother Borders' death, Brother Borders died. Joseph is over the spoken word to this extent that he is over the tapes. And he has changed it to the voice of God. When we went to Jeff, it had to do with the change from Billy Paul, which is the ending of it in this area, the death, the Moses part. As God was with Moses, so was he with Brother Branham, and Brother Billy Paul intercepted that as Brother Billy Branham because he has Brother Branham's name. That might go to seed, that the old harvest was over, that the cobs might come in, which represented the change and the new harvest. And I don't say this in any derogative way, but Brother Jack Palmer, a great man of God that pastored the Congregational Holiness Church in Macon, Georgia. John's familiar with it. I preached there. He started to follow in Brother Branham to show a type. And this thing that happened in David taking the followers from Brother Cobb's, which is Brother Cobb's family, over to Brother Palmer, wasn't nothing unusual because Brother Palmer had been their pastor when he was a Congregational Holiness preacher. So then the people went over there to their pastor. That was about all it amounted to. In that a relative is without honor among his own people, they left Brother Cobb's. But nevertheless, God was using Brother Cobb's to lead this area as a Joshua after the death of his father-in-law and go to Little Bethlehem and a crossing. And Brother Clyde can tell you that we talked about this step by step, showing how it happened, in that it meant a new harvest, to bring in a new harvest, and to restore that the palmer worm had gotten, and the years that the locust and the caterpillar had gotten. And that's why that Brother Palmer had the position that he did at Warner Robins. And why that we went to Warner Robins when we did to do what we did. Brother Sorrows was at our meeting in Macon at the tent, the one that was baptized with Brother Jack when they come into the name of Jesus. Now listen, folks, this that we are having tonight has to do with the changeover. It's little wonder that Brother Taylor should sing the song, "Move Over to the Other Side of Jordan," at the starting of this. I didn't tell him to do that. So then, why did the Lord prepare his heart to do it? Because it's God's move. It's the move of God. It's God's plan. Why did God prepare your heart to come here? Because you're God's people. It's God's program. It's God's plan. God brought you here. See, why did he prepare Brother John Lane's heart to come here? Why, you couldn't have tied John down here a few years ago. But here he is. His wife's very happy. And I'd say just before she come down here, she'd have just about felt like wringing Brother John's neck and talking about coming down here and leaving from over there where Sister Marie was and her granddaughter and different things. But she's very happy. And I knew that it would work out well for them. But I let them make the choice. We just presented it. Now, I'm not trying to control your lives, God forbid, because I do a poor job controlling mine and controlling my wife and children. If you want to find out about that, talk to my wife. See, I have to go to God and ask God to help me to even know what to do myself. So I'm not trying to control your life. See, I would be foolish to want to control everybody's life, because if John was controlling everybody's life, he wouldn't have time to eat. He wouldn't have time to sleep. Even Jesus, just trying to preach to him, had no leisure at all, even as much as to eat. So I'm just trying to help you and tell you these things concerning the mind of God, in that he foreknows all things and he tells these things to you because the Holy Ghost reveals to you things to come. See, I appreciate our sister coming out tonight. She was at our tent meeting. She come in tonight wanting to give a $5 offering. She said she heard we was going to be out here. She came out. Let me say this. Brother Don Porter represents a great thing. He went over and invited those people to come over here. They didn't come, but he invited them. But anyway, they haven't come as of yet. Brother Don has to do with a great thing, and that concerning Brother Clyde coming up yonder, marrying his daughter, and the things that took place. Whereas you couldn't convince Brother Clyde of that a few months ago, but I think he's beginning to take it into consideration. And it looks like Brother Don's going to turn out to be a good son-in-law after all. I told Clyde, if he worked with him, I said, he'll turn out all right. But for a while there, it got to be where we didn't know what was going to turn out. But I still was confident of the revelation. But anyway, he's down here tonight. He has to do with this. We look at people, we don't understand people. We pass our opinion. I believe it was Don, and hope you put this up. Isn't that right, John? This going up right here You may think this strange. I'm kind of jumping from one thing to another. Love to take about an hour on each subject. But if I do that, we'll be here a long time. But I'm jumping on something else now. So let's try to tie the ends together as best you can. Maybe we'll detail it. We got it on tape anyway. You can get it and get, you know, certain portions of it at certain times. It's strange that we come here, see, the Macon area is where George Israel is mayor, or his name is Israel, which has to do with the regathering of Israel. That's why you're here tonight, because this area has to do with the woman in the wilderness, the man-child being born. And how many of you know that I've been teaching as of late that the man-child has been born? Okay, now, at this time, it is the days of grace ending. As a matter of fact, my wife can tell you that I sing a verse over and over that God gave me today. I don't know why I sing it over and over. But it says, no more mercy, no more mercy. For where there is a knowledge of sin, mercy must end. There's no more mercy, no more mercy, never mercy again. Now see, that is, people have come to the knowledge of right and wrong, and they've chose wrong. And in that Miss America, the black woman that was made Miss America, in that she yielded up her crown, it had great significance. Because of a thing in the Playboy magazine that projected her as being undressed, it upset the people, and to save face, they thought they could not have a Miss America that would be reproached. Whereas, frankly, I feel that she could not have been in any worse shape than she was when they ordained a Miss America. Because as far as I'm concerned, they're in a horrible condition and they're undressed when they're made Miss America. But see, God suffered that. That might be a black woman, in that the black woman relates to the Jews and relates to the veil of Moses. And in that the veil of darkness, gross darkness covering the people, the veil being over the woman, they went back and dug something out of the past. Now don't think I'm pulling for the black folks or the white folks. I ain't pulling for nobody but Jesus. I'm just trying to defend the truth. But they went back and got something out of her past. And they counted that against Miss America. Now, folks, they can take the crown, but you know what that means? That means that Miss America lost her crown. And they can take the crown, but they can't take the fact away from her that she's still Miss America, or she was ordained Miss America. And being a black woman, it indicates that Miss America has gone into intellectual darkness and intellectual reasoning from colleges and from the business world and money piles and whatever has swallowed up America, and America's gone and finished. That she's lost her crown with God. She is no more a religious lady. She is gone. She's lost out. I say, in the defense of the truth, that if every Miss America we got, which is about 50-something, I believe, if you'd go back and unravel their past and look in their past, you'd probably find it as dirty and filthy that it could possibly be that a nude person might even be a credit to some of the things that some of them's done. And I'm certainly against nudists. Now, I'm just saying that in the end of the world, when God came and found them in the garden, He found them in that kind of condition. All right, now, our flag goes up when their flag goes down. And old glory goes out when new glory comes in. You understand what I'm saying? For Icky Bob is rode across the Doha. And why is it that Reagan received our flag in Washington with gratitude and then wrote to us or sent us his feelings about it in Eden that indicated the return of the people back to the garden? And why is it that he was landing over in the same area where we was landing in Kentucky when Brother Mitch and him met us over there and we went up there for the change? Why is it that Brother Parnell published and put on paper, that is, printed matter, and put in letters the speakers as 1, 2, 3, he, Brother McKinney, myself, and put it the voice of God? Why did he put the voice of God? Because Joseph, when Joseph took over, when Billy Paul went out, he changed it from the spoken word on the tapes and put it the voice of God. It showed the Joseph part coming in. That's what it had to do with. And strangely enough, I had received a tape from Brother Branham in one of the new packages, Voice of God, just before or about the time we baptized David Paul, when the light came down in the water, when there was no sun and it was clouded. When I come back the other day, I picked up that same little package with this thing in it where the light came down. And in this, it had Brother Branham's tape inside of our case, and the picture and the writing was the eternal abundant life. And it was the voice of God in the eternal abundant life. See, little things, foolish things to confound the wise. But we watch those things, and they fit together so beautifully. But see, this is a big thing, all of you coming down here. When we went to Norway, that was a big thing. When we went to Israel and ministered in Israel, that's a big thing in the eyes of the world. That's a big thing, you know. But I'm speaking of the little things that we never notice that God reveals Himself in. That is, in the simplicity. Is this the same Spirit that was in Brother Branham that's moving on, that's taking the church right on over the Jordan? Does it deal with the natural mind, the intellectual reasoning? Does it deal with your thinking? Does it take a step in a dimensional way that it leaves the average teachings of stop chewing tobacco and smoking cigarettes? Does it leave the average thing of just being baptized and being a good person, coming to church and paying tithes and learning what you can in Sunday school? Does it leave that natural realm of religion and go into the deep depths where Christ said, launch out into the deep, and Paul said, the deep mysteries of God, of great mysteries of which I must do it? Does it go over into the other side of the world? That's what Brother John's doing here. Brother John represents the end of the world and the change of leaving that side, of folding it up and laying it away, and then going over into the other side of the world, even into the heavenly places, which is the rapture, the translation, the catching away. Going into the other world, getting over the Jordan, which is the intellectual mind. Does God care for a muddy Jordan? I've been over there, I'm baptized in it. Does God care for a muddy Jordan? You know that has nothing to do with it. That's only a river like you've got a river here. It's just a typical thing. It's a boundary line that has to do with Egypt and has to do with Israel. God chose it and chose the natural people to show a spiritual thing. The natural ark to show a spiritual crossing. This is as the waters of Noah to me, he said. So then, what is the Jordan? The Jordan is death. What is that Jordan? It's intellectual reasoning. It comes from the tree of knowledge. It got started with the first man, Adam. Adam was an intellectual man. He came as far as Calvary, and God killed the serpent by smiting the head of Adam, by putting the thorns on the top of Adam's head. That was the Christ taking the image of Jesus, which was the first man, Adam, in that He made Himself twain, and killing one of them and bruising one of them and smiting one of them, in that we esteem Him smitten of God, that the other one might live. Delivered for our offenses, in that we sinned, and raised again for our justification, in that Christ lives again. So we're no longer who we were. We are who He is. We are the body of the Lord Jesus, and He died out of the presence of God that we might live in the presence of God eternally. God gave His own Son. So then I said that to say this, the end of it, this denotes the end of it. Even the bus we have out here, wasn't the brother that's connected with the other that gave that bus to us? Didn't we take it and redo it and make it into a glorification in the sense of bringing the people back, right back down here in it? If he didn't believe in this, why did he give the bus? He gave it very freely. So see, somebody has perverted somebody's mind and misled them. That's where the problem is. Children can be done like that. Thousands of them have been let off. But here's the thing. We could say much about that and children coming up under false parents or whatever and maybe never realizing it until they get grown and then looking for their true parents. But this is the thing I want to say, folks. The end of the world is here. The days of the Gentiles is finished. It's over and gone. God has redeemed a government for Himself. He's bringing up a new thing. The Bible speaks in the Old Testament, it says, when they found it in the fields of the woods. Did you know a prophet prophesied that, and even though there is a church that has the flag, I never dreamed of having a flag. I never even considered things like that. But there's a number of churches that's got flags. Every church has got it. They've got one that represents all the churches. That is a white cross, blue cross, I believe it, or white flag, something like that. But anyway, this particular organization, the Church of God of Prophecy, has a place called the Fields of the Woods. And they apparently took it from the Old Testament of the prophecy that when it was found in the fields of the woods. Today it's a huge thing, so big with commandments and what, that the planes can fly over. And people all over the world have seen it or come to visit it, just out of a man's vision. But I thought how that connected with us being here in the fields of the woods. You know, the fields of the woods really means, it really has to do with Christ Jesus that died outside of the city on a tree. And the tree had to do with the fields of the woods. Much we could say about that in Revelation. But nevertheless, in symbolic sense, here we are in the fields of the woods. This was just a field, and he come and built a house here. So there are great and mighty things taking place that it would take us all night to discuss with you. Paul talked all night long to the people. I would talk all night long, and when morning come, I still wouldn't be finished. And you say, well, you don't know. Yes, I do, because I've talked all night long. I have actually ministered to people all night to the coming up of the sun and still was ready to minister. And the strange thing is that the one that I was ministering to or those that I was ministering to, when and wherever, they were still ready for me to minister, asking me not to stop. But we're not planning to do that tonight, so don't get scared. Now, I'm just telling you that this is no little thing. We're not here just for a little thing. We're here to try to tell the truth and to do what we can. I'm not here to criticize anybody. I thank God that a man left a place called the Peach Orchard, I believe it was, and came over here with his son-in-law and purchased a piece of ground out of a vision or out of his desire or out of what he felt was the leadership of God, and left an organization perhaps that he had practically spent his life in. I don't know that he had, but anyway, they were of good standing in that church. And I personally think that the Church of God of the Elders is one of the greatest churches in the world. And I also have great respect for the Church of God of Prophets and the other churches. But we're not here to discuss churches. We're here because we want to establish something in this area, not just to establish something so that it will come up as a church. I could care less about that, and I'm sure John could, because John wants to evangelize the world. He didn't come here for God to meet his needs, because John's, I guess he's at least 50, and he's had his needs met all these years. He looks good and healthy. His family looks good and healthy. So that was the reason he come here. And he didn't come here to get a gathering of people because he's so far out, as he said, that people said, nay, away with that. But I'm just saying that we come here to try to establish something and to explain to you that there is something great and mighty that has happened and is happening, and that you are a great and a mighty people and you are part of it. Some of you don't know that yet, but you still are great and mighty and you're part of it. Far greater than you'll ever know. And some of you that think you're so great, you really haven't even got in yet. So that, it might help some of you too. So here we are tonight, and a great and a mighty thing is taking place. And I'm standing here and I'm talking to you because there is a great thing that is taking place. And God is doing a great thing. And in this area, we say again, a field of the wood. We are not very far from Jeffersonville. Why Jeffersonville? Because when we went back the other day with Brother Parnell, it had to do with the resurrection. It had to do with Jeffersonville. And so then here we are. We came through Jeffersonville tonight. Jeffersonville, we stopped at the grocery store. That is, we've got to have a new harvest, folks. Jeffersonville is close by. That is what this indicates. Why are we here at Danville, which is about 11 miles out of Jeffersonville? For the simple reason that this has to do with the serpent tribe. Are you listening? Danville has to do with the serpent tribe. Are you listening? That's why that when the brother came here in carnality, came on his own, came and done his own self-will thing, that's why it wasn't established, because it represented the flesh. Even the name means flesh. The brother had planned to take this house, buy the property, join them together because this represented a headship. But to the brother's utter amazement, when he came and told me boldly that he had bought this property, that he was fixing to get this house, he come to tell me that. He thought he had everything worked to a T and had not let me know anything, nor the brethren, and had worked it out, put the people in their position, got the land, had got control of this house, he thought. But when he came and told me how he had the house, he had the land, was pulling away from the brethren and whatever, I said, well, that's great if it's what you feel to do. If you want to do that, I said, but it's just one thing wrong. You came too late to get the house. Brother Cobb's already given it to the work. And it tore up everything that he had. It killed the head of the serpent. It killed the intellectual reasoning. And the other day, the thing transpired in a typical thing to show the finishing of it. The Carolina meeting, and I'll just have to compact this real quick. I can't detail it. The Carolina meeting brought a typical redemption of the body, which has to do with Brother Conrad that came out of Louisiana, and that Louisiana is considered the purchased possession. You follow me? Connect it with the Scripture. He brought me a rattlesnake, but he killed a rattlesnake first and skinned him. He brought the skin to me in the Carolinas. It had 10 rattles representing the law and the fall of Lucifer, the serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness, even having to do with Jesus, made the image of sin. We took that. We went up to the highest mountain in Georgia. When Brother David Paul took his little Dodge and got halfway up, it wouldn't go any higher because it had to do with crucifixion. They used to have a little saying, be devilish by a Dodge. On the side of the mountain was the crucifixion. I took a running start when our coach would not go up it. I backed up and I said, Betty, this can't be because I've been up the highest mountains, probably some of the highest in the world. And I took a running start and I just about run up that mountain with my coach, as we say, and got to the top of it, turned around and come back down. And when we come back down and stopped on the way going down into the deep part over the mountains that had to do with the death, the resurrection, whatever, it was there on the side of the mountain when we would have went to our death and that our brakes was out that I stopped. And Joseph went back in there and picked up the old shell of the snake, looking for a fire extinguisher. Picked up the old shell of the snake. I told him to throw it out the door because that's what it had to do with. Throw it out the door and there was no more death, no more brake problem, no more anything. See, that is to say, I said all of that to say that this has to do with the serpent tribe, Danville. Well, there's two sides to Dan, and that is one has to do with the eagle tribe. If you'll look as to the position of those that was around the tent, it also was on the eagle side that Dan was positioned. So we could say a lot more about those things, but I just said that to try to bring you up to date with a few thoughts to where you can just connect just many things together as to the children crossing the Jordan in that they came down on the bus tonight. The same Jordan, getting over the Jordan, they came down. It goes back to Brother John baptizing them over at the tent, and we could comment a whole lot on that. But the bus is sitting out there tonight, and so then the children getting over the Jordan, we want to establish that here in the sense that the flag has gone up. A nation has gone out. Israel has come in. And this has to do with Brother Branham's following having to submit to new leadership. Somebody said they'll never do that. The elders won't. They can't. It's an ordination. They die in the wilderness. But those that's coming up under the Brother Branham ministry is already turning to it. They know it's the move of God. Now, so then, here we are. We wanted to set a little tent here. And they pressed me the other day about a tent, so I went to get a tent. But I felt like we wasn't supposed to get it, but I said, well, we'll go anyway. We got up to Old Sarge's in Atlanta and found out the tents that they had there were wet. Those tents were out in the rain. They were not fit to get, Brother John. We went up there to get it. Now, I understand that Brother John has found a tent. See, tents or anything that God does must come from a certain source, go to a certain place for a certain purpose. Ours at the little tent that we had, our tent at Bethlehem, came from a place in Atlanta, Georgia. Those tents were being shipped to Israel. And one of them went to Bethlehem. Because we both have literature going out in Bethlehem where Jesus was born. And we have it going out at the other Bethlehem. And we had also been stopped by the Spirit of God in Bethlehem above us. So all that had to do with Bethlehem and with Israel. So then I feel that the thing to do is to get the tent. When you set the tent up out here, it's a little army-type tent, which indicates that when an army goes in, they claim a new land, they set up their flag, they set up their little tents. When they went over into Canaan, they had their little celebration of the booths. So You remember when they come into America, the first thing they did, they had their Brush Arbor meetings. It was the celebration of their little booths. Some of them are reverting back to some of those things right now. But anyway, this is in essence, we could do like Jesus. Jesus continued all night in prayer. We could dismiss, and right where we're at, we could just continue for the rest of the night in prayer. If you'd like to just kneel down where you're at and just continue the rest of the night in prayer. Just pray it right on through the night and see the morning. But I've got a feeling there's a number of them that would protest that. Maybe not in words, but in thought. So we won't do that. Now, so I'd like for you to see what I'm trying to say. You know, a lot of us play religion, but Jesus meant business. If we did one third of what He did for us, we'd have done shook the foundations of the world. How many of you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to stop there. I could say a whole lot of things, but I'm going to stop right there. Now I want you to stand with me. I want to just refer to a scripture here. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Preaching here tonight reminds me of going down to the little White House. Whether true or false, I don't know, but they said nobody had ever ministered there before from the porch of the little White House. And we ministered there, and it had to do with an inauguration. It had to do with the change. When the man called and told Roosevelt's son, Jimmy was asking, could he come down and could he give his speech from the little White House porch? And the man said, tell Jimmy he's too late. Brother Pike has already got it. I just took it, you know, as already having the little White House to speak. But he come back and said, Brother Pike, go ahead and give your inauguration speech. Said, I done told him you already got it. So he did not know what he was saying. He did not understand what he was doing. And from Jimmy served a half a term, and then the government shifted to Atlanta, as I said that it would, and they're opening a waterway to Atlanta, as we said that they would do. So then, Reagan went in. He has had also the other half of what Jimmy was to get, because they were numbered together. So at the ending of that is his term, it has to do with a great and a mighty thing, folks. Well, this, you might not understand this, and maybe you will. Somebody made a statement the other day to one of the brethren, said, Brother Pike sure did miss it when he said that Nixon was our last president and that was going to be the last one. Whereas I did make the statement. I said, Nixon means naught. It came to naught. The Watergate situation, it caused such a problem, it ain't ended yet. They're still talking about it. Whereas, you know, there's a Watergate concerning Jerusalem. But Nixon, back in German, refers to nothing. Or Nix. Now, missing it, I said there would be no more presidents in this sense. Not that they would not elect another man. I made that clear. I said, but no more presidents in that God has changed the thing. And who followed Nixon in? It was a man by the name of Ford. Are you listening? Did anybody elect him in? No. He got up and cursed and boasted, said, nobody put me in, nobody can take me out. That showed the monarch. And if that wasn't enough, they found out that his name was King, which really showed a monarch. And who have you had since then? Wasn't it Carter and Reagan that had to do with the change and the end of the world? Making the nest among the stars and from thence being cast down? And that somebody said she was about to turn the White House into Hollywood? Wasn't it the man that played the part of Moses or had to do with it that brought him the Moses staff? That indicated they'd come to the top of the mountain, looked over, and now it was going to be a new flag in a new world? Wasn't it a death with Reagan's in that he was shot? 70 years, they come out of Babylon, that's his age. He was shot and yet not shot, just a ricochet to humble his heart so that he would listen to God. And didn't he change altogether from the fabulous movie star and the rough rider of the cowboy scene and become a Christian? Are you listening? Hasn't he pleaded the cause against abortion? Wasn't the abortion side of it that come with Jimmy, that's coming with the Mondale figure, which is the woman having to do with the redemption of the body, believing in abortion? Isn't that the typical thing of the child being killed in the days of Herod and the days of Jesus? Reagan, like a resurrection, he came through. He's defending the right thing, even that which has to do with the schools. Reagan is ruled with a rod of iron. Can anybody deny that? Up until just a little bit ago, there was hardly anything that ever went to Congress but what he didn't get through. Nobody really opposed it. Began to be religious, they began to oppose him. Let me say this. I said this to the brethren the other day. I said, brethren, you know why that when we get together, that there's a diligence toward what I'm saying? We get together in the places around Bethlehem, and I talk to the brethren, and they're so wrapped up in it that I can't get away. 10, 11, 12 o'clock coming, they're still wrapped up in it. But I said, you know why that's not in the church? I said, it's because you've got your minds on what I'm saying to the extent that you're wanting to say something, and you're going to say something, and you're going to ask questions. I said, you can get in on the conversation so you get interested. I said, in the church, you can't do that so you don't get interested. Are you listening? There's a reason for it. But you need to get interested, folks, because the sons of God are interested. The daughters of God are interested. But I'm telling you, there ain't very many of them. You say, but we're Bethlehemites. There might be 10 here that are sons and daughters of God. I hope there's more. I preach to all of you trying to bring you to sonship. But it might be good if you listen, because I'm telling you the truth. If I know about some of these other things, there's a good possibility I might know about those things too. I have spoke of women and men that were devout fasters as much as 20 days, 50 days, 70 days. And I've spoke of them and spoke of harlotry in their lives and spoke of the things that was going to happen to them. And though it didn't seem that way for many years, yet it happened to them. We spoke of Brother Old Roberts' fall, and it didn't seem that way at the time because he was the greatest man on the field. He was a young, great man. But we saw his fall when he was a young, great man and spoke of it that in his older age, what would happen, it happened exactly. Numbers of others, so that means that we might have some idea about your life. And when you're contrary and in rebellion, it might be just exactly the fitting thing as to what we understand about you and have spoke to somebody about you. Because a lot of times, confidentially, we do. I didn't say that to scold you, but to exhort you that you need to watch and be careful and give the more earnest heed to the things you heard and don't let your spirits wander off so that we can enjoy a little stop together. Then when you leave from here, if you want to go feed a tummy and eat, drink, be merry, and that tomorrow we all might die, you can do that. But in the meantime, let's get spiritual and let's think about these spiritual things. We're here, as I say, to christen the work. You say, I'm uncomfortable. I know that Jesus was uncomfortable on the cross. I'm sure you are, but not in the pain he was in. We need to learn to be uncomfortable. Folks, this is one thing that I could really preach a sermon on tonight. And that is, America and the world has lost out with God because of luxury and convenience. Eating and drinking and overeating and drinking as it was to be in the last day. Marrying and giving in marriage. The whole thing. But we've got to remember that he that is God's man or woman has mortified the body, the deeds thereof is taken away. Mortified the flesh with the deeds thereof. And that we are a living sacrifice daily, holy, to give our bodies as being acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. To pray all night as they continued all night in prayer. To fast. To give our bodies to inconvenience. To be real God-men, and in this move, real statesmen. Because a nation is coming in and a king is taking over. In the earth, there's going to be a new king. He's going to be Antichrist. These that have crossed over and left that, there's going to be a new king. That's going to be Jesus. And in this area, there's a place prepared for time and a half of time for the woman. The man-child born, and the woman went into the wilderness, which has to do with Israel. That relates back to the things that's happening right now. Much we could say about that. But this has to do also with Sister Fole. So remember, folks, there is something taking place and many things that we're not saying to you tonight. Many things that we're not saying to you tonight. But we're saying just a few. It's real scattered. It's going to be hard for you to put it together. But I appreciate you coming down here. I appreciate you having the mind to come down here. It is thrilling to me to know that you come down here and understand that you had a desire on your own to do it. That way it makes it more effective in the minds of the people. Now, as to buying land around here, let me clarify this just before I close, and I won't keep you standing much longer. It doesn't matter to me if the sister doesn't see fit to sell us any land and doesn't even faze me. I haven't had any real desire to buy land down here. Somebody was of the opinion that I was wanting to buy land and just pressing Sister Fole to buy land and that Sister Fole wasn't going to sell me any land. I haven't even conferenced with Sister Fole about land. I haven't had any interest in buying land down here. Brother Clyde mentioned that it might be available. And I said, well, you can talk to the sister. If it is, we might consider buying some down there. See, so there hasn't been any desire on my part to buy land. There was no desire on my part to have this house. God is my witness. I had no desire for this house. Now, if I was covetous, I would, because I could sell it and get a piece of change out of it, as the world says. But I've been offered houses and land, and I've been offered fabulous things. And I've just turned them down flat because I wasn't interested because it wasn't the move of God. It had nothing to do with the move of God. And even this house that Brother Clyde Cobbs and his wife willingly came and gave to the brotherhood, they gave it. They persistently gave it. And I waited for a number of months. And I said, now I'm going to give this back to them. I'm going to give them the chance to get their house back. And I meant every word of it. I meant it. I took the deeds. I went back and said, now, Brother Clyde, you've done a great thing. You've given the house to the work of God. Now here's your house back. Here's your land. Now you've got that on record that you gave your house and land to God. You've got that in heaven. And now you've got your house and land. And Brother Clyde said, in essence, God forbid. I said, but you've got to take it. And I pressed upon him to take it. I mean in no little way. He said, Brother Pike said, be it known to you now and here. That will never happen. Brother Clyde Cobb will never do that. I gave that, said I knew what I was doing, I wanted to do it, that's what it was for, and I don't want it back. So, here's the house tonight. To show you that I mean every word that I'm saying, here's the house tonight. And I know Clyde meant what he was saying, but here's the house tonight. And before the living God, before the brotherhood, Clyde can come and take the house. I know John would move out in a minute, because I know the kind of person he is. I wouldn't hold it 1 minute. Take it lock, stock, and barrel. It's his. All he got to do is take it. So help me, God. I hope God kills me before I open my mouth again, if that isn't true, because that is true. Now, how do you understand what I'm saying? So, I thank the Lord for Sister Joyce and Brother Clyde and the children and their outlook. Even the children have not taken an evil outlook. If they've said anything about it, I don't know nothing about it. And ordinarily, children would have really had a hassle over it. So I think it's wonderful. It worked out beautifully. You say, well, Brother John Lane's getting the benefit of a home here he didn't build. I know that. But Brother John Lane did build a home in Macon, Georgia, or he had a home in Macon, Georgia, and he and his wife gave it up to go out to work for God. They gave it up and done away with it, put it in the gospel. And God's considerate of them at their age and is helping them still to move in the move of God and do things great and mighty for Christ and be in a world operation. It's reaching around the world. And it is, folks. It is. I know some of you don't know that. You don't believe that. But so help me God, it is. It's doing a great and a mighty thing. And I'm so thankful for it. I appreciate you being here tonight. I thank God for every one of you. And I'm sorry if I have pressed upon your patience because I didn't mean to do that. I only came here to try to converse with you a little bit and tell you about what Brother John is trying to do, what we're trying to do, and we have plans to try to send a few brethren along from time to time to have a meeting and a preacher and Brother John preaching to them as we go along to where we can establish a work in this area. That is our plans. Not to try to do it to press over anybody or anything. If God doesn't want it, it suits me fine. If nothing ever takes roots here, God's already done what I understood He was supposed to do here anyway. It wouldn't bother me in the least. But I do know that in this area, the prophecy and desire of the sister and of the brother was that this be used for the glory of God, and it most certainly can be used for the glory of God around the world because we can mention it in our publications on the radio and it'll have a reputation in a little while around the world because God brought it and gave it to the work of the Lord. And as to the other, I have had not any kind of moving desire, nothing from God, vision, dreams, whatever, as to the purchase of any land here. And so then, I don't feel bad at all because she doesn't come in, because I haven't had any feelings toward it. But Brother Zell did make the statement to Brother Gilbert, or this is the report I believe I got yesterday, that he said he felt like he could still buy the land over here if he wanted it. Whereas that might be true, he might can. And if he wants to, that's fine. If he buys the land across the road and Brother John lives here, I feel sure they can get along. If he buys the land, if he wants to build something over there, you know, we've got along in the past. John's got along in the past with him. I'm sure that we can all get along. I feel sure we can. But nevertheless, I'm not caring either way about it. He might not have any interest. He might have just made that as a passing statement. But I wanted to clear that up. Is everybody clear on that now so that there won't be any rumors about it anymore? Because we've had all kind of things going. All kind of things. I mean, I've got all kind of reports from different people. But that clears it up. You've heard, you understand, you know. Now if you'll all stand with me that's not standing right now, if you'll stand with me, we'll proceed to be dismissed. Yes, sir. Okay. There's a number of things that could be said, Brother John, and knowing that the people are tired, I know there's some of them are singing about driving back home, whereas I'm planning to drive back home too. And I know that they'd like to get started, and I'd like for you to be real careful because I'm always concerned about my people when they go off. I'm never at rest till all of the children come in. But with this flag, anybody can see readily the reading of holiness unto the Lord, God is love. And it says here, He shall reign forever and ever. Because it says, the kingdoms of this world has become the kingdoms of our God. And the Scripture reads, and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And folks, this is what's happening at this point. The kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of God. That's what this gathering has to do with right here. Now, Brother Don, would you come over here just a minute and get a picture across here of the people while they're standing? Now, I want you to think on what I'm saying. The flag here, we pledge the allegiance not to the flag, but to God. They pledge the allegiance to the flag. And for that for which it stands, it's supposed to be one nation, indivisible or undivided, it's supposed to stand. We don't pledge like that. We are a nation, a peculiar people. A nation, the Bible calls us, with a king. And we pledge our allegiance to our king, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just a helper of your faith. But there is a great, notable king. Someone asked the question, will Jesus then come? Jesus will come. Do you believe that Christ will come at that time? Christ has already come. Now, they that look for Him, He will appear the second time without sin unto salvation. But when Jesus actually comes, a nation will be born in one day. But when He comes, will He actually have nail prints in His hands? He certainly will. And if anybody ever tells you that the Lord is going to return and not have the nail prints, or that there is going to be a secret mystic coming of God, of the Lord Jesus, where you will not see Him in a body, a corporal body, that is to say, to the extent of the nail prints as a man, you catalog them as a false teacher, because that is a doctrine of the devil. It is not a doctrine of the devil that Christ has come already. But it is a doctrine of the devil to say that Jesus is not going to return in the clouds with the nail prints. He is coming as a natural man in natural clouds, and you're going to see His natural body, and every eye shall see Him. Even those that crucified Him shall narrowly look upon Him. Now when I say that, I know He's a quickening spirit. I know that. I understand that, and He'll come as a quickening spirit. But I mean, so far as you'll see the same Jesus that went away. As He went away, He'll come again. He's not going to appear to the church. He's going to appear to Israel, because Jesus came for Israel, unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But you have seen the Christ, who is the invisible God, the great light. Whereas the Jews will see Him with their natural eyes and the nail prints, and they will moan. They'll mourn. And they'll say, where did you get the nails? And he'll say, in the house of my friends. They'll accept him as the Messiah. And immediately, a nation will be born. But you've seen the Christ because you're the bride of Christ and you're the body of Christ, even as the Jews is the body of Jesus. And you're the body of Christ. And Christ has come into your life. And Christ has come to you as a revelation. And Christ has come to you as a great vision and light and understanding. This is Christ coming to His mystic body on the inside. But when the Jesus comes for His natural body, He will pick up your natural body. And when the Jews come in, the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world to the spiritual man of Christ on the inside soul. When the Jews come back, it'll be the reconciling of the world in the sense of the resurrection from the dead. That is, your body will be changed, as Thessalonians says, in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. That does not annul the fact that men can be changed before in the sense that according to your faith, and that Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and that is his body. Elijah and Moses, a number of them, God done something to their body. He's doing something to yours. You don't understand it as of yet, but you'd be shocked if you knew what he had already done to it. But I'm saying that Christ comes. This flag has to do with that, and he shall reign forever and ever. For Christ shall suddenly return in the clouds of glory, that is, in his saint. You are his temple. He comes inside of your body, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He appears in the glory that you're in hope of on the inside. You are his cloud of witnesses that we are compassed about with. And he appears in the cloud of witnesses that he may be glorified in his saints, in the sense of Paul said, they glorified Christ within me and the changing of the body to glorification. That his name may be glorified, in that it's not you living but him. You're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. The life that you now live is not your life. You lost yours in sin. The life I now live, Paul said, I live by the Son of God. That is, his life is given to me. Even eternal life in that yours was terminal, it's gone. So Christ in you, the hope of glory, it means that you're his bride, you're his body. And when Jesus returns to the Jews to show them the nail prints, your body will be changed. Your body will be changed. Now, don't misconstrue what I'm saying, because in Revelation 4, it indicates the church going out. In Revelation 12, it has to do with Lucifer being cast out and the nail prints. I can't preach to you on that tonight. We brought out something the other night on it. But I'd have to go through a great revelation concerning Revelation 12 in Calvary to make you understand what I'm saying. But just remember one thing. In your spirit, you are the mystic body of Christ who is the head. In your body, you are the members and bone of the very Jesus himself that will return for you. But returning to the Jews first, because the Jews is the head of the nation, and there must be a body, a nation of people that comes to a headship, which is the Jews, to show that Jesus the head will come back to you and to me in the natural, even as Christ has already come into our heart and set up his kingdom within the hearts of men, having redeemed his people. And that in a mystic, secret work, stealing the jewels away that all of the rest of the world thought we were foolish, and they didn't see what was happening as they went to their frolics. But, brethren, it's on the verge of being made manifest. Let me say this. The trials and hardships of this world are not to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed within us. This flag represents the nation of Christ coming in. The nation of Christ coming in. And us ordaining him king. For he must be in our hearts, among the people, ordained as Lord of lords and King of kings, and raised up as a king to receive his nation before the tribulation period. And then when the church is caught away in the change of the body, they ride over the tribulation period, and then the body unites with Jesus as the inner body has united with Christ. The outer body unites with Jesus as it rides over the tribulation period to set down in the millennium as the king, and the Jews, along with us, will then anoint him in the sense of ordaining him. That is, we will commission him by the laws of the land and prove by the law that he is our supreme ruler of heaven and earth, and He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, He will receive it by the great majority and multitude of the people that will crown Him that, and that we will be there. But folks, long before that comes to pass, Christ, the life of that body, Christ the head, the life of that Jesus body, lives in you as a headship to take your spirit, which is the head of your body, the masculine part of your feminine part, in that your body is the feminine part and the spirit is the masculine part. Christ, the masculine part of the body of Jesus, in that Jesus is the feminine part. That Christ has come into your heart, He has taken your spirit, and now your spirit, the masculine part, has married your body, or your body has submitted to marriage to the Christ within your spirit. And this has been the great marriage supper in the spiritual, in that this is the revelation, the hidden manna. It's coming forth to the change of the wedding garment that you're going to appear in just a little while in the Thessalonian change. See, because your body is that garment, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, the wedding garment. Don't come here without the garment. You'll be bound hand and feet. So see, it has happened already in the spirit. In the spirit world, it's completed. At Calvary, it took care of it, and it has come to pass in the membership on down. We could say a lot of things that has to do with the song that the brother sang up yonder at the Brother Parnell meeting. But I'm just saying this, that it has come to pass, and all we're waiting for is to ride over the tribulation period, that the bodily part might be seen out there as we ordain Him king with the Jews, joining forces of Revelation 19 to bind down a Christ, to do away with the kingdoms of this world. That's what this flag has to do with, and Reagan receiving it and becoming a Christian. It indicates that the world has passed away. Reagan represents the Christ side, Jimmy represents the Jesus side, and that's why Jimmy's referred to as the bastard child and those things out of wedlock and whatever concerning Kennedy, and the man's name being Joseph, and it is the reason why that Reagan is with the stars, in that it has to do with a child among the stars that is caught up, ruling with a rod of iron, loosening the prisoners, and much we could say about that. But anyway, it indicates those two people are one, and it indicates that the end has come, that the world has passed away. Reagan made the statements that I feel like I'm coming in, that the world is going out. And so then in the passing away, the old world passed away. Just like when they said, Brother Pike missed that about the monarch. Didn't Reagan and Jimmy come in? And didn't Reagan set up an ambassage with the Pope and the Pope, which is a monarch? Didn't he set it up that America now is under the powers of Rome, and that we're $3 trillion in the red? That is, we're bankrupt. And Papa, as they say, is the one that's carrying the people. It's gone back to where it come from. That's why they formed the relation. So it happened exactly the way we said, and we missed it just exactly the way that Peter missed it when Peter said to them in his day, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. Why didn't the stars fall? Why didn't everything end? Why is the world still going on? Somebody said Peter missed it. Well, you just got to know what Peter was saying. All right, so then, Brother John, this represents a great thing in this area, and the reason it's in this area, as I said, is because of Israel coming in. Israel coming in. We're heading for Mount Everest, as we say. Mount Everest, the tallest mountain in the world. Mount Everest is a wonderful thing. You know, all these things coming together, they say that Israel, that is, this man Israel, that he is meeting Reagan and coming into Marietta, I believe, in a day or two. But this is what it is all about, folks. Is matter of fact, I believe the man's name, what was the man's name, Raleigh? Was it Raleigh? No, Everest. I don't know where I got the name Raleigh. I was trying to tell my wife that the man's name was Raleigh. I don't know where I got that. What was his name? Sir George Everest. He was the one that discovered the great mountain Everest. That's what we're entering into, the day of his rest. Entering into his rest, in that those under the law did not enter into it, therefore there remaineth the rest for God's people. We, he said, be careful lest you fail to enter into the rest. Let's just lift our hands up and worship the Lord for just a few minutes before I dismiss you. And let's just praise the Lord and thank God for the opportunity of being here and Brother John working with us the way he has and the different brethren and sisters. And let's be careful when we go home. Let's watch and let's pray because we're God's people. And folks, when we get back to Bethlehem, don't listen to people that's got big ideas about what they're going to do in their ministries and all kind of things. Because I saw a vision the other night where somebody come in and was trying to take over Bethlehem because they wanted money. They wanted money. And one of the brethren that's just come there, one of the new brethren that's been staying over some with Brother Dwight, he was the number one man that they used. And he hardly knew his right hand from his left in the vision. They was just using him, lifting him up and using him to do that. And they publicly, and you know what? The people just swallowed up in it. I marveled at them. They were swallowed up in it. And of course, that boy was swallowed up. He didn't hardly know nothing about nothing. He just thought he was being used. But let's remember that. Stop your foolishness before it's too late. I beg you in the name of the Lord, because it is foolishness. Because in the vision, it was Satan that done those things. So you need to stop it before it's too late. Quit being double-minded and blown about by every wind of doctrine. Either what Brother Pike is preaching here is right, and it should be accepted, and you should walk with it and should be part of it for the rest of your life, or either you should reject it, come against me, and tell me that I'm a false prophet, that you don't believe it, you're going to put it down, you're not going to have any part of it. You need to do one or two things in your mind, because the Bible said a double-minded man or woman is unstable in all of her ways. They'll never receive anything of God, the Bible said. All right, bow your heads with me, and I want to pray with you. Father God of heaven, as I dismiss this congregation tonight, I thank you for your blessings and for your love and for your glory and for your kindness. I thank you for our brother John, and I thank you for our brethren that have come here with us, these brethren that have kindly come here with us. I thank you for the sisters that are here tonight, the holy, pure body of Jesus Christ. May this thing be magnified around the world, and as the brother said in Guyana, may it burn in his heart. And as those that said in India, may it burn in their heart. And may it burn as those said in Africa, may it burn in their heart. And in every part around the world. And glorify your lovely name, Jesus. For we are expecting your soon return, that we might anoint you the Lord of lords and the King of kings in the sense of crowning you with your glory. Father, be with us and help us and let us have a part in that as when the angels are present, as when Israel is present, may we as the least of all people and all saints, less than nothing, may we also be present and be received by our Heavenly Father to have a part. May our people have a part in the divine ordination of God, and may they understand how great and mighty they are in the things that have taken place as the head of the nation right now in this exposition for Christ in sending this around the world. May it be in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.